Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A scribe steps up to talk to Jesus. And at this point in Mark's gospel, we know what to expect from such an encounter. Throughout the gospel, Jesus has been at odds with the religious leaders, the scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees, the keepers of proper ritual and belief. And when this story opens, Jesus has been in Jerusalem for some days. He has been visiting the temple each day, and his encounters with religious leaders have been getting more and more hostile. They have been testing him, trying to trap him, and Jesus has been turning their questions and traps back on them. So when this scribe steps up to ask Jesus a question, we are prepared to see him as one more adversary. And he asks Jesus a simple yet challenging question: what is the greatest commandment? A question designed to get at the heart of what Jesus has been teaching, of what Jesus stands for and lives for. What of all our religious practice and belief is the most important? And Jesus, a practicing Jewish man, goes back to the fundamentals of Jewish faith. He looks back to the Torah, what we call the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, and the core of Hebrew scripture. It is the Torah that lays out the covenant between God and God's people, and the history of creation and salvation upon which the covenant is based. The covenant which sets the Jewish people apart as God's chosen people, laying out the life-giving law they follow in obedience to a God who has saved them from slavery and promised to be faithfully theirs forever. And within the Torah, Jesus goes to the Shema, the statement of faith which practicing Jews still recite daily. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Old Testament professor Catherine Schifferdecker writes, the Shema stands at the heart of Jewish faith. It is as familiar to the average Jew as the Lord's Prayer is to the average Christian. It is recited two times a day by observant Jews. It is also one of the passages written out on parchment and encased in the mezuzah, the small box on the doorpost of Jewish homes. The Shema is at the heart of Jewish faith, but the rest of us, speaking as a goy myself, can learn from it too. Love God. Love God with everything you are, heart, soul, strength. Love God with your life. Perhaps a better translation than soul, since Israel didn't conceive of a disembodied soul. Professor Schifferdecker goes on to say that love here is not primarily an emotion. This is not talking about something we feel about God. It is an active participation in the covenant. It is studying scripture and learning about God's saving history with God's people. It is living in active obedience, in living daily relationship with God. Jesus names this succinct but powerful statement of faith as the core of belief and practice, the most important thing. And then he goes on with another command from the Torah, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. A deceptively simple statement, which opens up a bunch of questions like, who is my neighbor? And what does it mean to love them? Do I simply wish good things for them? Or do I need to go out of my way to welcome and feed and serve and provide justice for my neighbor? God gives a hint at the breadth of what love your neighbor means in verses such as these, again from the Torah. You are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. And you are to have the same law for the foreigner and the native born. I am the Lord your God. Indeed, the commitment to love our neighbor comes directly from our identity as God's people, who love and commit ourselves to God. So the scribe asks, and Jesus answers, and they agree. Indeed, Mark says that the scribe approaches Jesus because he heard that Jesus has been answering questions well. Now, Matthew changes the story here a little bit, sticks with the scribe as bad guy script, and says that the scribe is testing Jesus. But here in Mark, the scribe seems to come with an honest question, respecting Jesus and wanting to hear his response. And Jesus commends the scribe with the words, "You are not far from the kingdom of heaven." Not effusive praise, maybe, but they have found common ground across all that divides them. Friends, it is a challenging time in our nation. Election results are mostly in. And for most of us, I think that there are things we are concerned about and others that we are glad about. Election news is coming to an end, hallelujah, as are the endless mailers and emails and texts asking for our support for this or that candidate. But anxiety over what will happen next and anxiety over clear divisions in our society are still high. As Bishop Megan said in her statement to the Synod on Thursday, it feels insufficient to say we can agree to disagree when so often we can't agree on basic facts. It is difficult to even see the reality that some of our neighbors inhabit. In this context, I think there are two important things to notice in today's readings. First, we notice that the one who is expected to be an adversary turns out to share common ground. It is easy for us to find labels by which to judge one another as with me or against me, friend or foe. But Jesus and the scribe step out of those assumptions, that growing polarization, and listen to one another and find the very important places where they are in agreement. Which brings us to the second thing to notice and remember. Jesus and the scribe are in agreement about the most important thing. The most important thing, which is to love God and love neighbor. Indeed, they each center their identity in that love and in God's love for them. And that is our shared identity as well. Whatever happens in the coming years, this is true. God is God, and we are God's beloved. And as God's beloved, we have work to do, my friends. Loving all our neighbors, welcoming and serving and bringing justice for all our neighbors. Because that is what it means to love God with all our hearts and all our soul and all our minds and all our strength. That is what it means to love God with our lives. And that never changes. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.